Yesterday morning, I sat here for about 30 minutes going back and forth about what topic I was going to cover. The two topics I was self-debating about were comparing Yellowstone ratings to NBA ratings, which I ended up going with, or Dan Le Batard's recent comments on modern journalism. I'm glad I went with Yellowstone in the NBA ratings yesterday because Dan Le Batard, he kind of ties into what we're talking about today. Last Thursday, Dan Le Batard was a guest on Kenny Mayne's podcast titled, "Hey Mayne, No One Listens to This Show." They were discussing the state of modern journalism. Dan Le Batard, he had some advice for aspiring journalists. Find another career field. He based this advice on the fact that no amount of journalistic reporting on corruption ever changes anything. He even had someone to blame for the ineffectiveness of modern journalism. Orange Man Bad. Yeah. This dude actually blamed Donald Trump for the downfall of the mainstream media. Now look, I have never been a Trumper. I thought he was a good president, but I didn't always agree with his antics. One thing I did like about him, though, he was not afraid to call out the media. It is not Orange Man's fault that people don't trust the mainstream media. According to a recent Gallup poll, for the first time in history, 40% of the country has zero trust in the mainstream media. When broken down by demographics, between 70 and 80% of normal people have zero trust in the media. However, 70% of the shitfucks trust the media completely. I wonder why. The media in this country, they are no longer about reporting the truth. It's no longer about keeping the government honest. The only purpose of the media today is covering up government corruption and being a propaganda machine to further their demented narrative. Over the weekend, we were given another example of why people don't trust the mainstream media. Now, in the grand scheme of things, what I'm about to share with you guys, I mean, it's just a small lie, a little white lie. Well, KC, you can't call it a white lie anymore. That's not very diverse. Today, we refer to it as a multicultural lie. My bad. I forgot the word white was considered offensive. It's the equivalent of cursing in church. You are no longer allowed to say vanilla either. It's associated with white. No more vanilla ice cream. It's now called inclusive ice cream. Poor Vanilla Ice. He's going to have to change his name to Diversity Ice. But anyway, this lie from ESPN we're about to expose. It's a little multicultural lie. But here's the thing. If you're willing to lie to me about something this small, this inconsequential, how can I trust you to be truthful when it matters? If you think I am stupid enough to believe this bullshit, you'll think I'm dumb enough to believe anything. Problem for ESPN, I'm not deaf, I'm not blind. I saw what happened Saturday afternoon. My girlfriend's a big fan of the Florida Gators, meaning on Saturday afternoons, I'm forced to sit through 3 hours of some of the most boring football imaginable. I don't understand how you can watch the NFL, then watch college football and think that the college game is better, it's more exciting. It ain't. Most college football games are painfully boring, but that's a rant for another video. I will say this, though. The regular season in college football this year, it's been the best it's been in years. They are definitely heading in the right direction. But anyway, we're sitting through that painful game Saturday afternoon. Finally, it's halftime. She gets up to start decorating the Christmas tree. I'm watching the halftime show. The game was broadcast on SEC Network, so ESPN had the D crew covering the game. It was fascinating sports coverage, extremely informative. I mean, this was Mina Kimes level analysis. When I'm watching a halftime show, I'm expecting analysis of the game. Saturday afternoon on SEC Network, I was given analysis on fucking suits. Watch this exchange between some dude named Peter Burns, grandson of Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, and Ben Watson, former tight end for my Saints, who I will always remember because Ben Watson caught Drew Brees' 500 touchdown pass. Roll the film.
45-20. By the way, did you not get the memo on the suits? We all went dark today. You're like Easter service.
Y'all kind of leave me out. As long as I get the text from my wife that says I look good.
Oh, really?
Send me the text, babe. Send me the text.
It's not the one she sent me. Welcome back to the Farm Rich Halftime Report. Just you and I here, Takiya. I'm not sure what happened to Peter Burns or... Did you have him keep your wife's name out of his mouth?
Huh?
We'll see how Peter Burns is with that smart mouth in the second half, but Gators.
Couple of things to unpack here. Number one, I know we joke around a lot here on the channel. We poke fun at Shannon Sharp for being a 54-year-old grown man who calls himself Shay Shay. Ooh, Shay Shay, superstar, super woke. We make fun of Mina Kimes for calling herself an NFL analyst. Ryan Clark, the ultimate beta male, the birthing person who breaks down in tears when Chris Russo disagrees with him on woke take. Jalen Rose, pastor of Woke United Methodist, founder of Brokeback Mountain. But one thing I've never done, I've never went after their families. When Jalen Rose and Molly Karam announced their divorce, I didn't mention it. Now, months after the fact, I might have made jokes about Jalen Rose being the wife in the relationship, but I never went after her. Tom Brady going through a very public divorce. Only time we've mentioned it here on the channel pertained to the impact it'll have on Tom Brady on the field. Peter Burns, he pulls out a joke from middle school 20, 30 years ago, trying to be funny. Do I think he was being malicious? No. They were trying to fill airtime before going to commercial break. But I can understand why Ben Watson was pissed off about it. Dudes joke around with their friends all the time. Me and my friends, we're always fucking with each other. But we don't go after the wives or the girlfriends like that. Even if we did, it would be a joke amongst friends. Peter Burns did this on national television. Now, would I have been upset about it if it happened to me? No. I mean, I would have laughed it off or shot one back at him. But I can understand. I can understand where Ben Watson was coming from. I can understand why he didn't like it. You saw when they came back from commercial break, both Peter Burns and Ben Watson, they were not on set. A few seconds later, Ben Watson returns to the set, visibly frustrated. He didn't look pleased. The other two dudes, they were still laughing about it. Ben Watson shaking his head in anger. Not one time did he smile. Not one time did he even pretend to laugh. You guys just saw it for yourself, and this is important to remember because according to ESPN, this was all a pre-planned bit, similar to a comedy sketch that you'd see on Saturday Night Live. There's nothing to see here. This was all planned. Here at ESPN, this is what we like to call comedy. Did you find any of that funny? It was somewhat entertaining, perhaps the most entertaining 60 seconds ever broadcast on SEC Network, but I wouldn't call it comedy. This all happened Saturday afternoon. By yesterday morning, this clip had been viewed over 7 million times. It was beginning to generate headlines in the mainstream media. Outkick reached out to ESPN for a comment. Surprisingly, ESPN actually responded. Normally, when Outkick reaches out to ESPN, the email gets the message, return to sender. Not this time, though. Yesterday, they received a response from Amanda Brooks, director of PR at the SEC Network. Check it out for yourself. This entire segment was performance art. Oh, what an amazing performance by Ben Watson. This man deserves an Oscar. I am nominating him myself. Let me get this straight. I'm supposed to believe ESPN, the network supposedly dedicated to girl power. Over the last 6 months, how many times have we seen ESPN supposedly fight for women's rights? How many times has someone like L. Duncan lectured us on abortion? Remember last month when Malika Andrews lectured Stephen A. Smith on woke take? This network is dedicated to the WNBA. Every summer, they try to convince us that woke welfare recipients dunking lemons in the dumpster is professional basketball. And I'm supposed to believe ESPN, supposedly dedicated to women, wrote what could be potentially perceived as an off-color joke about a woman? You expect me to believe that? Also, ESPN is afraid of anything that could be controversial. This is the same network that assigns a useless shitfuck to monitor Twitter every second of the day to make sure they haven't aired anything offensive or said anything offensive. This is the same network that's been fighting the good fight against mythical racism for the last 2 years. And you expect me to believe they orchestrated a segment where a white man makes a joke about a black man's wife? Do I look fucking stupid? Over the last 48 hours, ESPN has tried to convince us this was all pre-planned. Now look, I have no doubt the analysis of the suits was planned. ESPN has no idea how to adequately cover sports, so there's not a doubt in my mind that some Donnie Dickfuck producer thought it would be entertaining to discuss suit colors. But Ben Watson mentioning his wife and Peter Burns making a joke about it? That was not planned. That was unscripted banter. Let me show you something else. Check out this forced picture of Peter Burns and Ben Watson. Now, this is just speculation on my part, but after seeing the reaction to this clip on Twitter, I think ESPN forced them to take this picture. Look at the face of Peter Burns, then look at the face of Ben Watson. If everything was all good, don't you think Ben Watson would at least smile? Check out the caption, "Moving on, but you still owe my wife an apology." Does that sound like the words of a man who wasn't pissed off about this? Here's the thing. All ESPN had to do was be upfront and honest about it. Saturday afternoon, Ben Watson was upset about a remark made by Peter Burns. Everything's all good now. That's all it would have taken. Everyone would have moved on. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about it 2 days later. But no, 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 no. ESPN tried to cover everything up, thinking we're dumb enough to believe it. Dumb enough to believe all of this was orchestrated. This is why I say all the time shit fucks are allergic to the truth. If you're willing to lie to me about something this small, something that is inconsequential, what else are you willing to lie to me about? ESPN lies to you about everything. Bubba Wallace, they lied to you about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. They allowed Mark Jones to lie about Jacob Blake. Hell, when is the last time ESPN actually told us the truth? Give me your thoughts. Did Ben Watson overreact, or can you kind of understand why he was upset? Like I said, I wouldn't have been upset about it, but I can understand why Ben Watson was. The bigger story to me here is ESPN lying about everything. But let me know what you think. Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.